Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up on all the news you should know about. Today, a new year means new debate over the state budget. We'll take a look at what to expect in Harrisburg. And Governor Josh Shapiro was in Tunkhannock last week to discuss substance abuse prevention and recovery. It's Monday, January 19th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start with some news from the world of public media. A Lehigh Valley station is the latest to be affected by cuts to public media. James Ziprode has more for WVIA.
Lehigh Valley Public Media, known for its operation of PBS 39, WLVR 91.3, and LehighValleyNews.com, announced Friday that they plan to lay off nearly half of their staff. It's a move that follows years of financial struggles, which have been intensified by recent cuts to public media funding at the federal level. The organization had grown to a record 80 employees by 2023, according to LehighValleyNews.com. In February 2025, the nonprofit drew attention amidst discussion about the future of its NPR radio station, WLVR, as reports circulated that LVPM had built up a deficit of $8.6 million in 2023. CEO Hassana Birdsong, who took on the position in mid-2025, revealed that the organization has already lost more than $1.8 million in the 2025-26 fiscal year. That's despite cutting several expenditures like the Book Nook program, which provides free books to underprivileged children. The layoffs affected all departments and leave LVPM with around 20 employees. LVPM is not the first news organization in the state to face significant struggles to stay open. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, one of the oldest newspapers in the country, announced last week that they will shut down in May, and LancasterOnline.com recently laid off 9% of its workforce. In Bethlehem, I'm James Ziprode.
Thanks to James Ziprode for that story on our public media colleagues. Now let's get a little bit more local. Governor Josh Shapiro joined a roundtable discussion about substance abuse prevention and recovery in Tunkhannock on Thursday. Shapiro, along with the state's Secretary of Health and Secretary of Alcohol and Drug Programs, were there to learn what works in the Wyoming County community and how the state could do better. WVIA's Kat Bolas reports.
Cammie Anderson is the Drug and Alcohol Prevention Coordinator in the Tunkhannock Area School District. She provides education for students beginning in kindergarten. She's there when students lose parents and when they find help in recovery.
I am just so passionate about prevention and feel that it is so important. Not that any of the treatment work that's being done isn't amazing too, but you know, my goal is always to kind of have less people coming through your doors.
Shapiro said the state provided $300 million for schools to hire mental health professionals.
That is working. Is that different from what you are suggesting we need? And if so, how?
I think funding needs to be so that all counties, all school districts could have a drug and alcohol person sitting in that school. I just think that's what works.
The panelists also discussed the need for more student loan help for those entering careers in the field. They asked the state to continue supplying communities with the life-saving drug naloxone and to streamline funding for positions in prevention and recovery. Shapiro and the secretary's stop in Tunkhannock followed the release of the administration's Overdose Prevention Program annual report. In Tunkhannock, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Find more of that story, including some comments from Shapiro on data centers at WVIA.org. And speaking of the state government, state Democrats have successfully won more public school funding in the past few state budgets, against pushback from some Republicans. As Jackson White reports for WVIA, Democrats will fight that same battle this year.
Republicans have fought to undo the state's method of dishing out additional cash to low-income school districts. But Democrats have insisted the extra money is necessary to remedy a landmark court case stating those schools are underfunded.
We have a moral as well as constitutional obligation to fund children's education, and it's kind of cold-hearted 2 years into making some steps towards adequacy funding to then argue we're going to pull back on what we haven't already done.
That was House Democratic leader Matt Bradford. He'll meet with the governor and Senate Republican leader later this year to negotiate Pennsylvania's budget. Many Republicans, like Senate Appropriations Chair Scott Martin, say Pennsylvania invests too much in public schools when compared to its students' performances.
And that, for me, is where the system is failing and why the system truly is inequitable and only going to get more inequitable.
The adequacy formula has given the underfunded schools an extra $1 billion over the last 2 years. I'm Jackson White in Harrisburg.
Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. Now it's time for News Voices, one of our weekly features here at WVIA. This week, I chat with WVIA healthcare reporter Lydia McFarlane about one of her most recent stories. Here's more. You're listening to WVIA Radio. I'm Sarah Cinto, and this is News Voices. Today, I'm here with WVIA healthcare reporter Lydia McFarlane to discuss her recent story on a melanoma hotspot in central Pennsylvania. Hi, Lydia.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us about this hotspot. It was found by researchers at Penn State, right?
Yes. So the scientists at Penn State did a study where they analyzed 5 years of cancer registry data. And from analyzing that data, they found 15 counties in central Pennsylvania, including some in our very own coverage area, like Lycoming and Columbia counties, that are included in this area where there is a high incidence rate of melanoma.
Right. And you spoke to some farmers in those regions who said that this holds up for them and their families.
So I spoke to a farmer. His name is Tommy Nagel. He is a cattle farmer and comes from generations of farmers himself. And he's also the vice president of the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. He's not necessarily from one of those 15 counties. However, he said that he sees this pattern in his own family where his grandfather had melanoma and his uncles who were farmers had it as well. So he understands that there is a pattern in agricultural professions where people are exposed to the sun more often and have a higher risk of developing skin cancer.
This study was a study on correlation, not causation, is something that you note in the story. Can you explain the difference there?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said earlier, the scientists analyzed 5 years of cancer registry data and just saw that there were these spikes in these 15 counties. And that doesn't mean that they don't have guesses as to why in these areas where there's a lot of agricultural activity that there are these spikes, but that research didn't focus on that. They simply analyzed the data. So they're seeing this correlation between areas that have high amounts of cultivated farmland and the amount of melanoma incidence that is in those counties.
Now, they explain why the focus on melanoma in particular?
Yeah, so one of the researchers, Dr. Charlene Lamb, she's a dermatologist, and she actually noticed, she works at Penn State's Hershey facility, and she noticed that she had a lot of patients coming in with melanoma that were farmers or were living in central Pennsylvania. So she specifically wanted to look into melanoma, and one of the other researchers, his name is Dr. Eugene Langrich, he said that cancer is different. Every type is different. So when you're doing research on cancer, you want to isolate one specific type.
Now, were they surprised by these results?
They really weren't. They did say that there were counties that had high incidence rates, but were not included in that hotspot. So another one of the researchers, he's a student at Penn State Medicine. His name is Benjamin Marks, and he said that for a county to be included in the hotspot, it had to have a high incidence rate itself compared to the rest of the state, but also compared to its six neighboring counties. So he shouted out Wyoming County, which is also in our coverage area, which had a high incidence rate but wasn't part of the hotspot because compared to the six surrounding counties, it didn't have an abnormal incidence rate. So the scientists weren't surprised to see that there was such a high incidence in central Pennsylvania, but they were surprised by some of the counties that were left out of the hotspot.
And when you were reporting on this, were you surprised by this?
I think the more that I learned from the scientists, the more it made sense to me. Something that did surprise me from this was that the melanoma risk isn't just for individuals that work in agriculture. It's for all residents of those 15 counties. There's a heightened risk. So again, going back to that correlation versus causation, you know, people living in that county still have a high risk, even if they're not farming. So that's why they have to dig more into the cause. Why is that risk applying to everyone in the county and not just the farmers?
All right. Well, Lydia, we look forward to your stories on the results of the causation study when it comes. And you can find that full story at WVIA.org. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
All right. One last thing for you today. On this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, let's take a look back at this week in history with WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
This week in history, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, January 19th through the 25th. Back in 1817, this is the week Stroud Township is officially formed in Monroe County, named for its founder, Jacob Stroud, essentially kicking off development in the region. 1924, the very first Winter Olympic Games are beginning this week in the French Alps. Six sports are featured, including ski jump and bobsled. In 1981, the Iran hostage crisis ends. Just minutes after Ronald Reagan is inaugurated, 52 captives held at the U.S. Embassy in Iran are released. 1997, this is the week the U.S. sees the installation of its first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright. And in 2020, the first U.S. case of the novel coronavirus is confirmed in a man from Washington State who'd flown home from China. The pandemic is just beginning. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
Okay, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for this new week. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.